just like our sermon title would indicate, today I'm going to be talking about love. And so we looked at the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that famous love passage. I think a lot of us know at least some of that by heart. You know, if you've ever been to a wedding, or if you've been to a wedding recently, more than likely you've heard this passage. I think it's the number one wedding scripture passage of all time. I think if people really listen to it, it might not be the number one wedding passage of all time. But there's a message in there that goes so much deeper than what we hear on the surface. There is a deep message of sacrifice in that passage that most people don't hear. But I'm hoping that over the last couple of weeks with us working through this Greater Gifts series, that we've had some time to kind of think about and contemplate on these spiritual gifts and all these different things that we've been talking about. But more than anything, I want to pray that that in this time, there goes the furnace. There's a joy. But our prayer is that I'm hoping that everyone here starts to look into their spiritual gifts and understand more about what it is that they've been gifted and in the different ways in which we've been gifted. And as those gifts become clearer to you, when we think about those gifts in the context of what I'm going to be talking about today, which is love, I want you to think about how we would apply those things through this lens of love. Paul says, and I'm going to jump back to 1 Corinthians 13 here, starting at verse 1, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but I do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." We all love those, right? Anybody ever play in concert band as a kid? Yeah? Wasn't it always the most like rowdy kids that got put on percussion that would just stand in the back and wail away on that cymbal? And everybody was finally like, really? Like, or the we can never doubt the fact that the one person who should never find the gong, like when you're out somewhere, if you've ever seen one, is the person that will absolutely find it and sit there and just hammer away until finally just somebody just takes the stick and throws it. But continuing, "If I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith to remove mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing." I want to say that again. Think about what Paul is saying here. If I understand everything, right? When we get to this, he ties this thought up later with that, "Now we see in a mirror and dimly, then I will see clearly," right? This is a payoff to this statement right here. If I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I could know everything, I could understand everything, but if I'm incapable of the kind of love that Christ shows, it's not worth anything. There is no value to me having that knowledge. I could have enough faith to move mountains, but if I don't have the kind of love that Christ shows, I have nothing. Not only do I have nothing, I am nothing, Paul says. And if I give away all my possessions, right? We hear people talk about that. Well, if you're a Christian, you should give everything away you have to the poor, right? Live it, right? Well, if I'm not doing more by loving people the way Christ has loved them, even if I did that, even if I gave over my body, as Paul says, that I might boast. And what Paul's talking about here is that if I absolutely allowed myself to be stoned to death or crucified, or even if I just sat outside in the elements and preached all day and tried to convert as many people as possible, if I did that without love, I'm nothing. Absolutely nothing. It means nothing. It has nothing to it. There's no substance. I gain nothing, Paul says. And so to summarize what Paul's saying here, all that we do in life, all that we can do in life, is meaningless if we do not have love. And what kind? What kind of love? Now see, we go into Scripture and we see the word love and we think, love, right? Now we jump back into Aramaic, the Hebrew. We jump into the Greek. Greek has four different words for love. I've talked about this before. And there's passages in the Bible where we get in English, we get love, right? That word means love, and that word means love. And this word over here, that means love too. So we're just going to use the word love. But that's not what they're saying. The agape love that Paul is describing here, that sacrificial, I'm willing to lay down my life for another person kind of love, is what Paul is describing here. Not the brotherly kind of love, the filio, not the romantic, the eros kind of love that we see in other passages when we link that up with marriage and relationships. No, Paul's not using those words. He is talking about agape love, sacrificial love. So if we don't have that kind of love, right? I caught a quote that was posted on Facebook just as I was finishing up preparations for the sermon. I often wait till the very last minute, and sometimes I mean the absolute last minute, to get my messages done. And it's because God speaks to me a lot of different ways as I'm getting ready for the message. And he prepares my heart through all these things that I see. And then it's so strange how on a Saturday night, sometimes even on a Sunday morning, that whole word will just coalesce and form into a message. And I'll sit down and I'll have 20 minutes of 30 minutes sometime, more possibly, of a message. And I don't even have to work at it. In 30 minutes, I'll have it all written down. Because God's been preparing that in my heart. And this quote hit me. I can't remember the author's name, but the quote was so profound that it stuck with me. I keep giving Christ countless reasons to stop loving me. Nothing I've done has changed his mind. I keep giving Christ countless reasons to stop loving me. And nothing I've done has changed his mind. Christ still loves me regardless. Amen? Amen. Now there is a joy that we can celebrate each and every week. If we move around in this world with that kind of love for one another, that sacrificial love, that willingness to do everything that we can to save someone, that unceasing, unstoppable love that we see from Jesus Christ, I would say that this world would look very different. But what does a world without that kind of love look like? Given the news stories that we saw this week, I don't think we have to look very far. I don't often think of things in the context of being ashamed. But I was ashamed when I saw a room full of people stand up and cheer. And I don't know where we all stand on this. And I'm not... But to stand up and cheer. There is no reason, there is no medical reason. None. That at any stage, we could justify that. Scripturally, if we go back, just in our passage from Jeremiah today, God makes it abundantly clear that he knows who we are before we're even formed in the womb. If we're going to talk about love, if we're going to talk about the kind of love that Christ has for us, that sacrificial love, well, I can't stand and cheer. And think that I'm going to be able to sit down the next Sunday morning and say that I have that kind of love. I just can't. I can't justify the two. There's too many things in Scripture that disconnect that from me. I can't do it. And I don't normally talk about politics, and I won't normally talk about this kind of stuff from the pulpit, but this is one that I find personally we know now what a world without that kind of love looks like. We see it in the news. We see it on Facebook. We see it in our personal relationships. We see what a world without that kind of love looks like. That is not what God's kingdom looks like. God's kingdom does not celebrate death. We celebrate love. We celebrate sacrificial love. I recently saw this movie. I don't know if anybody's seen it. Christopher Robin. Has anybody seen Christopher Robin? Yeah. Even if you're a person who does not really think of yourself as somebody who enjoys Winnie the Pooh anymore, if at one time in your life you ever enjoyed Winnie the Pooh, I encourage you to rent this movie and watch it. This movie looks at what happened to Christopher Robin, and that's, of course, Winnie the Pooh's friend, right? His human friend. And, of course, all of the friends from the Hundred Acre Wood, from the area where Christopher Robin grew up. Now, as adults, we are introduced to the grown-up Christopher Robin in this movie. He is now an adult, and he's working for a luggage company, of all things. I thought that was really funny. But it becomes clear that Christopher Robin has changed his priorities, and he works long hours and seems to be having less and less time for his family. And when weekend plans to go to the country with his family changed due to work, right? We had a sudden change and we need to rethink everything because our bottom line just isn't growing. We need to huddle together. He bails on his family for work. Now let me tell you about a message that I picked up from a movie where I felt a little bit convicted watching it. Because I don't know anybody that works incredibly long hours and occasionally will forget about their family because of work. Let me tell you how convicted I was watching this movie. He actually goes to the country because all of a sudden he feels like he's hallucinating. Winnie the Pooh just shows up. And so he takes Winnie the Pooh back to the Hundred Acre Wood. And it just happens to be the weekend trip where his family was staying at his childhood home. And he takes Winnie the Pooh back. And in the process of returning Winnie the Pooh to the Hundred Acre Wood, starts to go through a bit of personal transformation. And at one point, his daughter asks him, she's giving him a hard time about choosing work over family. And at one point, of course, Winnie the Pooh, if you ever remember the books or the cartoon or whatever, the red balloons, right, were something that Winnie the Pooh particularly enjoyed. And he asks Christopher Robin, you know, well, what's more important than a red balloon? Are all the papers that you just lost for business more important than a red balloon? And he's like, well, yes. They absolutely are, and it just crushes. You see it like absolutely crush Winnie the Pooh. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand that surrendering that joy for that burden. And later in the film, we see Christopher Robin reminded of what is really important in life. And I don't want to spoil it for you, because it's a great ending to the movie. It's great. But, you know, you see him come alive again when he remembers love. And when he remembers that red balloon is more important, right? That joy, that family, that love is more important. Giving himself over to take care of other people is more important than the bottom line. And so, now, this is where we get fun, right? I'm going to get a little serious again. So even in the church, it's awfully easy for us to begin to value the wrong things. And we've seen this a little bit in the United Methodist Church over the last couple of years, but we start to look at things like productivity over spirituality, effectiveness over having a caring heart, making sure that we have all the seats full, right? Instead of making sure that we have all the hearts full and transformed. Power and position over service and servant leadership. And we can even start to think so highly of our spiritual gifts that we forget about what powers them. And what powers them, what makes them valuable and makes them work is love. Paul reminds us that it does not matter how successful we are as a church, if there is not love flowing through what we're doing, through everything that we do, when people meet us, if we are not overflowing with love, it's what does it matter? What is it worth? I believe Paul had some words here. He said, I am nothing, I gain nothing. If we are doing these things without love, what do we gain? What does God's kingdom gain? I would venture to say, by the grace of God, something, but not as much as it could if it was done with love. Amen? So now that we are finishing up this series on spiritual gifts and we understand that there's something for unique for each of us to do, that there is a plan and a purpose for all of us, and that we've each been gifted in a unique and special way. Looking at it through this lens of love, right? How we need to be dependent upon one another and be there for one another. Can we, and this is how I'm going to end our message today with this question, can we let love, will we let love, love of God and love of neighbor, guide us? Amen? Amen. That's our message for today.